This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording. We pay our respects to the elders, past and present, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be listening today.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a definitive weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Give us a shout out on Instagram by posting a story of you listening to the show and link back to us at Gays Revolting Pod, or join our Facebook group at The Gays Are Revolting.
Hi everybody, welcome back to another episode. We have three of your regular hosts tonight. Unfortunately, Mikey has hurt his back and tonight and can't record.
Oh. Hashtag future husband.
But we do have Luke, who got gastro last week as the ultimate karma because he got the shits instead of giving them for a change.
That's decent.
That's pretty good.
We have Lord Thomas Jaspers, whose dusty old overalls are more worn and ill-fitting than his asshole.
Oh.
And me, Kyle, the lovable one, with nothing bad to say about myself.
You're the one I only have bad things to
I know,
say about.
I know. Got to counteract.
How are you, boys?
Hi.
Yeah. I haven't seen you for a whole week.
You were at Gay Times.
I went to Gay Times. You went to Daylesford.
Yes, I did.
Luke, I went home.
You went home. Yes, I went to Gay Times, first of all, the happiest place on earth. Luke, you went once. You've been once, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been to the very first one.
I've done three out of the four. Only reason I didn't
How long
do
has
one,
it been going for?
4 years. Oh, I didn't do last year because I was doing Adelaide
Is
Fringe
it bigger
Festival.
Every year?
Yeah, it's just amazing. It is like the most beautiful, queer. It's 92% of the acts are queer. 60-something percent of the acts are female or have female members in the band. We were performing as Granny Bingo, which was amazing. We got to host the whole festival this year, which was really fucking cool.
Awesome.
And it's just like the most eclectic, beautiful mix of people who are just like all loving each other and
stuff. It looked really good.
Yeah,
from the photos.
It's incredible.
I was laughing at all the Granny Bingo.
I can't. Yeah, Caroline Springs was the pill tester for the festival.
I felt like a weird, like, you know, in the detective movies where someone has like the board with the red
with the strings to stick together.
Like,
yeah,
every single gay or queer person I knew who didn't know each other ended up tagged. Oh.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like,
I did see a lot of like weird like interactions of people.
Yeah, I was like, this person knows this person now, and this person knows
gays
that person.
Gays have innate ability of finding
absolutely,
each other.
And there were so many lovely people that listened to our podcast that came up and said hello to me, which was really nice. So thank you to all those people. Sorry, I don't really remember it because I was a little bit wasted, but it was very nice.
I had a great weekend. I got over gastro.
Yay.
I got an electric toothbrush.
Oh.
And I invented this
Is
new...
Is that how you got over gastro?
Yeah, I don't trust electric toothbrushes. Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting used to it. It's not really interesting.
You know you're supposed to put it in your mouth.
Yeah. Talk about it. But then I also invented a new game to replace my going to GPs and wasting their time game.
Oh.
Now I have this new game before I go to bed with someone and you're falling asleep. Instead of like nice pillow talk, I just describe obscure puzzles from old point and click adventure games.
Oh my god, King's Quest.
Yes. And they have no idea what's going on. I was like, okay.
I can see how that
So you're in the French like countryside
and
you need to get a
And my weekend was pretty good.
How are
too.
You single? Oh, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I went to Daylesford. I've never been there before.
It's gorgeous. Where
really
all
beautiful.
Gay men go to die.
I heard it was like lesbian town.
It's a very queer town. There's a lot of gay and lesbian people living there, especially like not old, but Well, there is a lot of people that retire there. It's the only gay and lesbian retirement home in Australia, isn't it?
That's where it is.
Definitely the only one in Victoria, at least. Yeah. I'm genuinely already saving to go to that nursing home in Daylesford.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't want to be surrounded by straight people when I'm old.
Oh, no.
And I must mention, Kyle, you sound really good
really
on the podcast
crisp.
Today. So do you, Luke.
That would be because we're using brand new Rode mics. Thanks, Rode.
Thanks, Rode. In our gorgeous Castaway studio. Couple of weeks from now, Kyle and I are going to be at Mardi Gras.
Yes, we
Luke,
are.
Luke, you're not going, are you?
No, I don't do things.
Have you been before?
I've been to one of those as well.
One gay times. Have you done a chill out?
I haven't done chill out.
Okay, well,
I'll
we'll
do one
next.
Chill out.
Well, of course, Mardi Gras is coming up this coming weekend. Well, the parade's coming up this coming weekend. Mm-hmm. The festival does go for a few weeks, starts with their carnival day and ends with their parade day. So I thought we'd have a little bit of a chat about the history of Mardi Gras. Do you know your history of Mardi Gras, Kyle?
I am foreign.
Good excuse. Do you know your Stonewall history?
No.
Oh, nobody died at Stonewall.
Yeah, I just know the meme. I know the meme of Derek Barry being very confused about how no one died in Stonewall.
Okay.
Well, I was like,
well,
this is...
We're going to do the history of Mardi Gras. But you do have to go back to Stonewall really to look at it. So the Stonewall Inn is in New York. And the Stonewall riots took place in 1969. It was actually a series of riots. The first one was on June 28th. And it was a very big deal. It was illegal to be gay or lesbian or trans or what they would call cross-dressing as well, which drag queens fell under. There wasn't a lot of places for people to go. And so the Stonewall Inn was actually run by the mafia. So they paid off cops and would get warnings sent to them so they could clear everybody out. Anyone that was obviously gay or in drag or whatever would clear out before the cops got there. I'm probably going to get sad talking about this. A lot of the people there were just homeless youths that had been kicked out of their families in the 60s. It was not okay in America or most of the Western world to be, you know, a young gay kid. And so they sort of found refuge in New York, and a lot of them would go to places like the Stonewall for safety. So, yeah, on that night, there was no tip-off by the cops. Yeah. And so they barged in. They started bashing the shit out of people, dragging people out. And the people fought back. And they started this massive riot on that night. And it sparked a series of spontaneous sort of violent protests, both at the Stonewall and other venues around New York as well that were queer venues. And they kept continuously fighting back. And, and it started. It really is one of the major catalysts for the modern LGBTI rights movements. So that was 1969. Skip forward to 1978. So Sydney was the gay mecca of Australia. They had Oxford Street and the bars along there. 1978 was when we had our first sort of big one, and it was actually organised in recognition of Stonewall. So it was what was called the International Gay Solidarity Celebrations, and they were organised sort of all around the world to honour the 1969 Stonewall riots. So the Sydney one, at the time you had to get permission to have like a gathering of people to protest. They got the permission from the police. Mm-hmm. They started gathering. They were chanting, you know, the chant out of the bars and into the streets and that sort of thing as they were marching along. The police actually revoked their permit on the night.
They like found out what they were doing.
Yeah, on the night they revoked the permit and started trying to stop them, and it again turned violent. The police started forcing them into vans, dragging them into vans. Yeah. You know, and we're talking like the photos and stuff you look at, and it is just heartbreaking. There is like kids there, there's older people there, they're just having the shit beaten out of them by these cops. Who fucking took their right away to fucking march, which just makes me so angry. Anyway, so these people got arrested. They got taken into custody. The Sydney Morning Herald printed the names of every single person and the age of every single person that was arrested that night. Mm-hmm. And you were allowed to fire people at the time for being gay. So people lost their jobs. People who went out to their families lost their families. Mm-hmm. It literally destroyed lives. All of these names printed in this newspaper.
Jesus.
So because of those brave marches on that night, then the following year, the government repealed the legislation that made their arrests possible, which meant that they didn't need a permit to make the demonstration anymore. So the following March in 1979, 3,000 people went and marched and was incredibly brave because they were still not sure what was going to happen. They were still worried that they would get arrested. They even actually set up like a fund for people to raise money before the march in case they had to pay bail to get people out of prison that night or the following morning sort of stuff, which is really brave and amazing. And like, we just don't understand how scary this stuff must have been.
I really never thought about it that much. Because, like, I guess me and I guess, like, a lot of people just see it as kind of like a big party to celebrate your pride, but you don't actually think about all the stuff.
How it started.
How it's all started and everything that's gone into it.
I mean, we say history, but this is 8 years before I was born. Like, it's not... we're not talking, like, Titanic times. We're talking...
I mean, almost.
We're talking, you know, very recent times. And it's grown and grown every year, which I think is amazing. Like, the party first was introduced in 1980, so the post-parade party.
Oh, that's,
and
like, not that...
It's not that long ago, no. By 1989, I think they had 200,000 people. I think one of the biggest marches they had was 1993, where they had 500,000 people lining the streets of Oxford Street and the entire path. Mm. And, of course, it brings in thousands of people from overseas. I mean, Melbourne's empty on Mardi Gras week.
Yeah, you know? Oh my God, absolutely.
I and remember, also from around the world.
Yeah. When I went last year, I saw, like, every single person I would ever see out at Mardi Gras. It must have been absolutely...
I think JB has gone to more Mardi
Gras. Really?
Do you go every year, Tom?
No, I don't go every year. I go... I mean, it's also, like, right in the middle of all the arts festival time. So if I have the time off, I definitely go. I'm going this year.
Yeah.
Very excited about
it.
I haven't been for a couple of years.
Next week.
When did it start getting televised?
Because there was a few years where it wasn't televised. It's now again being televised, but it's not live. It's now a... Because it was televised live for a little while there.
Yeah.
But it's now on SBS, sort of edited down to highlights.
Because I think that's an important...
I think that's incredible.
Especially for people of our generation, Tom, where... We were young and still in the closet with not a lot of visibility of our community. And I have very vivid memories of sneaking out of bed to watch the parade because it's really the only mainstream avenue that you know exists. Yeah. You know there's Mardi Gras and that there will be gay people there and that it will be on TV. And so you kind of find a way, you want to get a peek, and it's kind of like...
I remember one
behind the curtain, you know.
It must have been like a Sunday morning. There was the neighbors over, they were having a barbecue or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was on the news and there was footage of this like queen in a jockstrap riding a riding this massive penis down.
No,
it wasn't his own. It was like a mechanical penis riding it down. And I was like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing. Like, I couldn't say anything. And one of the neighbor's dads was like, oh, well, I don't mind them being gay, but do they have to go riding giant penises down the road?
That's Tom Saturday.
Dykes on bikes. Making the biggest impression because that was always at like the start of the parade.
Strong traditions, Dykes on Bikes always.
Are they always number one?
Yeah.
And so seeing that right at the beginning, and I'd always sneak out and like watch it secretly when I was a kid. I don't know, it's like ingrained in my brain as being like one of the first avenues of gay culture I'd ever seen.
And don't they have all the original people who protested marching
so that's the really nice thing.
They're called the 70...
The 78ers. So
78ers,
the ones that were at that first 1978 march, or the ones that are still with us, are all invited every year to come. They have a bus that takes them down. Some of them are obviously, you know, older and can't do it. It's a very long walk. You haven't done the walk, have you?
No, I haven't. When I went last year, we missed the parade. Like, we were chasing it. We went to the wrong place. Like, we didn't know Sydney.
How do you go to the wrong place?
I don't know. We went to the wrong place or the wrong part. Like so I think we'd missed it. And then we're just all standing there in the middle of the city with, like, outfits. And everyone's like, what the hell's going on here? So we had to catch, like, another Uber. And then we kind of just caught the end bit of it, I think. But this year when we go, we want to make a good effort to just properly see and get good spots.
You've got to get there early. I mean, people camp out
overnight. I think that was our mistake. Yeah. We went really late. And we're like, we can just go.
No, it's amazing. And it is beautiful. I mean, there's so many different people marching. And like you were sort of saying, Luke, like, seeing the Dykes on Bikes going first, I really like that too. What I like about it is it's a real show of strength. People seem to have this thing that the LGBTI community are weak people, and I think that's what those police initially at the Stonewall riots and then at the first ever Mardi Gras thought, that they could just come in and treat us like shit. And it's like, no, we will stick together. We are actually quite strong and brave, and I think that's a really beautiful symbol of the Dykes on Bikes going first down the parade.
Yeah,
I think it's, and then it's lovely.
The police march now as well.
The police march now.
Don't they march
well?
Right behind the
78ers. I don't know if they do much behind the 78ers, but I do remember a few years ago when I was in the parade, I'm going to cry again. seeing the 78ers on a bus.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, Tom.
It's just like, these are sort of like our ancestors.
Yeah.
And, sorry,
No, that's all right. Take a moment.
Seeing the 78ers go past the cops on their bus and the cops turn and saluted them all.
Yeah.
And I just think in 40 years, that's... Yeah. those people did a really brave thing at first. Sorry.
It'd be a really beautiful moment.
Trying to hold the wrench.
All right.
I'm coming over to hug you.
It's all right. Sorry. It's a... Yeah. What those people did in 1978 is really fucking brave. And it was just, seeing... the cops turn and salute.
Yeah, that would be
the 78ers on their bus. Is amazing. And look, there's people that still complain. I know the Manchester Pride had a big... I think it was Manchester Police aren't allowed to march in the Manchester Pride anymore.
Really?
I don't want to say what other people should feel. What I think is beautiful about what's happened with the world is we now have LGBTI cops. And I think it's really great that they are now allowed to, in their uniforms, go and stand in that march.
Yeah, because you see so many photos pop up of people in uniform, like sharing a kiss and like beautiful moments.
Yeah,
like
it's lovely. And they've also got the armed forces and all that sort of stuff in there as well. I think it's really shows how far we've come.
I think that's really important.
And that all goes down to these fucking homeless kids and these trans women and these lesbians and these gay guys and stuff that were brave enough to go out on those first marches at Stonewall and Sydney Mardi Gras and other ones that happened around the world, which is, just incredible.
Wow.
And it's also events like this. Like, when you really think about it, we have nothing in common with lesbians or trans people or bisexual people. There's really very little that makes us similar. We're lumped together in this community because we were all ostracized together and we were all marginalized together.
Yeah.
And so seeing events like this, I think, is so important because we're all sticking together. We're all saying, no, we are going to stand up for each other. And I think that's what's really important we need to keep in mind as things become better for some of us individuals, we have to keep looking out for other marginalized people and banding together and helping everybody else out.
Did you see that Mardi Gras is in the works to ban glitter from,
yes.
from the actual thing?
You know
Isn't
what?
That crazy? Like, I mean, I'm super supportive of it because we have such a huge problem with plastic, but at the same time, it's like Mardi Gras is known for glitter and sparkles. Yeah. So like they they need to like promote this alternative.
You are still allowed to use the... But like
you get all the eco-friendly ones. So
is that eco-friendly
there's
glitter?
There's eco-friendly glitter, it's becoming bigger and bigger.
I think it's similar to that, like edible glitter or something like that. Yeah. They're doing other stuff to make them green. So last year, for the first time, you know the banner? I don't know if you've seen the photos of all the banners, because it's, how many kilometers is the parade route? Like kilometers and kilometers. And on either side of the road, they have these banners that go the entire length and say Sydney Mardi Gras 2000 and whatever year it is, with the Simpsons logos for that year and that sort of stuff. And it's made out of this like fabric. So last year, they turned all of that into bags and recycled it all into, or upcycled it all into like carry bags that you can buy afterwards, and then that money went to supporting different charities.
That's awesome.
Like
that's really good.
So they're doing
more
a holiday
things like that. Yeah, and I heard they're like doing working to ban balloons, all the balloon release and stuff, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, as much as I love glitter, but imagine all that microplastic going down into the
and
ending up in the ocean.
It's definitely the right thing to do. It's just a shock to think Mardi Gras, like not sparkling. But I will be doing I'm going to do a glitter beard at Mardi Gras, but it will be biodegradable.
Yeah,
I can.
Yeah. It's just a shame our environmental gay Mikey is not following this
way. Environmental gay like
You know, we get so caught up in our Melbourne pubs and our Melbourne
There's other cities.
There is a gay pub in Perth called The Court.
Yeah.
That is currently under a bit of Facebook fire. I went through and peeped their comments. And there's like, you always see it in these like smaller towns when something blows up. One of their posts has like 4,000 comments and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, we should clarify that Perth isn't strictly speaking a rural town.
I've never been, but wait, is that where you're from, Luke?
No, I'm from Adelaide.
Adelaide. Yeah, Perth. I always get confused between the two because I've never been to either.
Oh, sweet. I'm going to buy you a map.
But local members of our community in Perth are quite upset and have actually started my favorite thing, which is a change.org petition. Because one of the few LGBTQIA plus venues that they have there recently underwent some massive renovations.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar renovations, apparently. What that actually did was make it one of the bigger venues.
And one of the nicest venues.
One of the nicest venues and attracted a new clientele. I am talking about heterosexual people. Which is totally fine. And I think we've talked about, you know, how to be a straight person
in
queer
a few
spaces.
Times, I think.
But there's been some real clashes at this venue in terms of harassment.
Abuse.
I've read a lot. Yeah, this has popped up quite a bit for me. I've read a lot of the comments of people being abused.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some really horrific stuff and security guards not really noticing or not paying attention.
Yeah, people reporting to security guards and them not actually acting on it or kicking both of the people out of the club.
So in the ultimate feisty move, The petition says, well, you might as well remove the rainbow flag and the LGBT signage until it is a friendly space.
Which I think is a fair call.
Absolutely.
It's a funny... I was heartbroken to read this. Last time I went to the court was a few years ago before all these renovations, and it was such a fun place to go. Perth is a funny city. It's one of the wealthiest cities in Australia. It's also smack bang in the middle of Western Australia with no other major cities around it. Yeah. And it has a huge amount of fly-in, fly-out population of people from mining towns, so... loaded up mining. Look, I'm going to say a lot of them are heterosexual. Not a lot of queer people go and become miners. I don't know why, but that's true. So a lot of them are sort of flying in with all this cash for, you know, their week break in Perth and partying like crazy and don't really give a fuck how they treat other people in the city. And a lot of the queer people that are going to these cities live in Perth permanently. So yeah, I was really heartbroken to read this stuff. And also that the management, until this petition was put together, hadn't really done anything about
it. Yeah, it surprises me because you think with a few LGBT spaces being available, you'd be really protective and really clued in. I can say that management seemed to be really listening to this and responsive.
I have been reading all their responses.
Their comments, there was one where they were like, like they're actively asking their clientele, well, what can we do? And that means you don't always get it right all the time.
No.
And I saw one post where they're like, well, do you guys want like a girls' night only?
Yeah, I read that.
A guys' night only.
Girls' night or boys' night.
And the audience was like, no, that's not
how we work.
That's the worst idea.
Has it changed management? I wasn't sure. Is it new management?
I don't know. Like since the renovation. I'm not sure if it is the same.
I mean, regardless, if you're going to keep that, because they've got a big gay flag, not just like hanging from the building, but like it's part of the signage. Yeah. If you're going to run that venue with that gay flag there, you better fucking make sure it's safe for people that are finding refuge in that place, you know?
Yeah. One of the measures that they're taking is employing what they call RSA officers or Rainbow Safety and Attitude Officers. They're members that you can go to if you're being harassed or uncomfortable or you want to report homophobic behavior. So there will be people there specifically to report back to. But I guess it's a broader topic about like they don't want to discriminate either. They don't want to have a door policy. They're putting in, I think,
it's about discriminating against anybody. I think it's about making sure that nobody discriminates against each other once they're in the venue.
Yeah, well, the management initially were saying they see it as discrimination to, you know,
to restrict
heterosexual people from going to these venues. But it's a conversation, I think, that we're starting to have more and more as our spaces become more popular and better.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of my straight friends have figured out in the last few years if they want a really comfortable night out that's fun and inclusive, they would go to a queer space or an LGBT bar.
Generally, they are those things.
Because they are generally those things. But it's a tipping point. It's like if more and more people start doing that, do they still... stay?
Is it just a blended space?
I think queer spaces have always been quite welcoming of heterosexual people. They're just not welcoming of assholes that make other people feel uncomfortable. The comments that I was reading were things like straight cis men pushing to the front of the women's queue and saying, I'm trans, so I get to go in here first, and pushing through the door. Like, that's making fucked. People uncomfortable in a space. If I was signing that petition, it wouldn't be because I want to ban all straight people. I would be saying that person is not welcome in a queer space. There was people taking photos of gay couples making out and posting them and making fun of them online. And that sort of thing. Yeah, like that's not cool.
I heard people being cornered in bathrooms and stuff.
Yeah,
even.
And intimidated. Yeah.
So scary. The people want to go to your safe space. You want to feel safe. You want to be with your friends.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then you get picked on by these.
Yeah. If it was a gay person doing that, then I would want them banned as well. If a gay guy was to jump the women's queue and say, I'm trans, let me go in first, then ban them.
I do like the idea of having all these officers positioned around that are very visible.
Yeah.
I think maybe more spaces should have that.
Yeah, I think it's great. They're also saying that they're retraining their security staff.
Okay.
And they'll be wearing pink vests to make them more visible and that sort of thing, which is also really important. I mean, security staff, a lot of them, and this is a problem across lots of venues, is that they're agency and that sort of thing. So they might not be completely knowledgeable about the specific needs of a venue. And I think that they're working on making sure that all the ones that work there are going to be, which is good. I did see a really nice thing. And this is, again, going back to the last topic of our community coming together to help each other out. The drag community of Perth have now organized a night where all of the drag queens of Perth are descending on the court for a night. And they're saying to all of the people that have not felt comfortable there over the last several months to come along that night, and that they will be making sure that any person that tries to make someone feel uncomfortable, you're going to have 50 drag queens.
Fuck yeah. I want drag queen security guards. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. Like,
well, was it a drag queen or a trans person that threw the first brick?
At the Stonewall riots. Oh, yeah. Well, that is a very debated topic. And it's definitely someone that identified as a woman, but there's mixed reports as to whether it was a well-known lesbian or a well-known trans person. We don't really know.
At the end of the day, a lot of these bars are also businesses that need to turn a profit.
Definitely,
And that does include, to a certain extent, not restricting, you know, who they let through the doors. And I think one of the comments or one of the questions I'd asked was like, well, how do we keep this venue gay without it being tacky, like in terms of the decor and stuff?
Yeah.
And they were actually worried that if this venue was too gay, they would potentially lose customers and then lose their business. And then
but that
we would
shouldn't be the kind of customers that they should
well,
want.
You can make a venue, like you should, if you want to make a venue that's full of rough as guts people bashing the shit out of each other, fine, but take your rainbow flag off it because
exactly
it's
right.
a safe haven
Open
for
up
us.
Somewhere else.
But it raises a good point there, Luke, because you look at venues like the GH in Melbourne.
The GH Greyhound?
It was the Greyhound, then it changed to the GH. Yeah, that was one of Melbourne's oldest LGBTI venues. Went through a renovation 8-9 years ago, I think.
It closed
10
before
years
I moved to Melbourne.
When did you move here?
2016. I'm pretty sure it was closed before I moved to Melbourne.
Yeah. So anyway, basically, it had a massive renovation. They had the biggest screen of any club in Australia and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And it was massive and it was beautiful and stunning. But they decided that they needed to get more straight people in if they were going to make enough money to make it financially viable.
Yeah.
So they created the Hens Pen. So at the front of the stage, there was a blocked off section for hens nights to come and gawk and rip drag queens off.
And
all these different things. And they started doing like 2-for-1 ladies and stuff like that. And it's like, hang on, who are we appealing to? And what actually ended up happening is that they weren't attracting this new clientele that they wanted, but they were alienating their original clientele instead of expanding on it, and they ended up having to shut down, and as we all know, it's now apartments.
So it was a lose-lose.
And then we also have the same thing at the Peel. The Peel tried to narrow down its audience from all gay people to gay men. They did that for several years, and they've now had to take their rules away and make it welcoming for everybody again.
Yeah.
So.
I think you can make it like gay-friendly decor and everything and not be tacky. Like you get this kind of like
no, but no. I think what he's saying is how do they pay for that?
Yeah.
How do they pay for that if there's not enough people coming in?
I just have the idea that there's like this objective measure that, you know, these venues have to there was one like Twitter post I saw where someone had posted a like note on the like DJ booth at a gay bar, and it was like,
oh, no Ariana.
No Britney, no
I saw that today.
Dancing on your
I was
own.
Like,
and that was at a gay bar.
Yeah, it was just a red note, and it was saying, we want to keep this place unique.
We want
and
to be unique.
And
there
was a list of all the things you're not allowed to play on the jukebox.
But it was, I felt very seen by that. Like, wait a second bit.
So
but I think that's what business owners are struggling with, is this like alienating different parts of their
well,
audience.
If it wasn't for RuPaul's Drag Race, we wouldn't have dwindling numbers at the gay clubs, and so we'd all be fine, and we didn't have to expand our gay clubs. And
well, like one of the main gay clubs in Brisbane, the Beat Mega Club, that's like quite a few different rooms and stuff.
Yeah.
But my memory of it was downstairs was straight and upstairs was gay, but then they both
that's
intermingled.
A terrible
idea. I don't think it was it wasn't like rules, but
does it still have the tuck shop downstairs?
Yes.
Oh, do you know about the tuck shop?
It was
downstairs?
Like it's dodgiest, but like
so this is
still
so Brisbane. Okay, for anyone that's not from Australia, Brisbane is up in the north of Australia.
Yeah.
But they've got this club, this really great, massive club called Beat, and it's mostly gay, and it's a whole lot of levels. But the bottom level has like a 1980s tuck shop on the side of the dance floor. And there's this woman just sort of sitting on a stool, and it's got like the Lay's chips hanging down on the wall.
Yeah,
I love and it's got
that.
A Bain-Marie
it's
with like.
It's literally like out of a school.
What's
you can buy
called,
like, you can buy Dagwood dogs.
Yeah,
is that what
they're
called?
And like Chico rolls, potato cake, or scallops, whatever they call in Queensland.
So
and
random.
Dim sims and stuff, and like twisties and Mars bars and Big M's. It's just so out of place.
So is that. That how you maintain.
That's how you make your money.
Bring a tuck shop and then you join the people together with food. Terrible, gross.
Cheap, hot.
Yeah, horrible food.
4-day-old food.
Do you guys think another issue with these clubs is that straight men are drawn to the women in gay clubs because women feel safer in gay clubs, so then do you know what I mean? Like, like, do you think it's drawing in these like horrible kind of like predators? Yeah, because they know that like all these pretty girls
absolutely.
Feel comfortable with
the
gay friends.
And I think
they're
the ones we're concerned about and getting into, because we're not concerned about JB getting in there.
Yeah, I am.
You should be.
I've got heaps of straight friends that I feel very comfortable taking into these spaces, and I know that they won't make anybody feel uncomfortable, and that they're very aware that it's not their space. Mm-hmm. It's our space, and they're coming to join in.
Absolutely.
But it's those kinds of people that I think the owners of these venues should be wary of, because they're the ones going to scare off their core-based clientele. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Full disclosure, there's going to be some spoilers talking about the finale of All Stars 4, Drag Race.
Drag me to hell.
But there was quite a backlash to the crowning, or the double crowning that occurred on the weekend, where RuPaul decided, or I would say production decided, to crown both finalists, which was Trinity and Monet Exchange, as opposed to a single winner for this season.
Yeah.
Being a bit of a Reddit Nancy Drew of Drag Race, the interesting thing about this double win is that it felt really hollow to a lot of people.
It felt so hollow, yeah.
I think the reason why that is when you watch it back, it's actually done completely in post.
Yeah. It is, yeah. You never see them together walking down. They're like, it's all completely separately
shot. I hope the fucking editors got an extra $100,000 because they did a really good job taking that footage and trying to stick it together and making it look
Looked like it was done in iMovie.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think considering they would have been given footage of each individual person.
They probably had nothing to work.
So do they film all four of them winning, or
is it just the final two? Yeah.
Well, this is what's interesting about this double win is in the previous seasons, they have actually filmed double crownings. So the last season, the season before it, and I think Bianca and Adore's season.
Right. Yeah, so like the public doesn't know.
Or the drag queens don't even know who wins.
Yeah. But for those seasons, there is a legitimate chance that they will do a tie or a double crowning.
Yeah.
Which I've realized I hate saying out loud.
You keep saying it and it's jarring every time.
I've met a baby.
I think
today.
I had that double crowning times.
But this is one of the only recent seasons where they have not actually filmed a tie.
Thank you.
So they didn't. film that as an outcome. They only filmed Monet Exchange winning and Trinity winning. So what people have sort of... I'm thinking birth.
Oh
now.
My God. Stop
what people have
babies.
Deduced from this is that this was a decision that was made after filming finished. A few reasons why potentially this decision was made was a backlash to the previous three seasons of All Stars having all white winners in the what they call the Hall of Fame. Yeah. So there was a lot of outcry that they have this new cast, All Stars 4, a cast that was predominantly queens of color.
Yeah. And like really talented ones as well.
Super talented queens of color. And the fans were basically calling for blood from episode one.
Yeah.
If they were going to crown a white queen for the fourth time in a row. So I think they realized, fuck, we've filmed this whole season. Really pegging.
Do you think Naomi screwed it all up because like Manila was the person of color that everyone I thought was rooting for and wanting to win?
I look, the show was so brilliant when it first started and it's just become so weak, and I've said this a million times before. I'm not going to bang on about how I don't like it, but do an entire season of people of color. Like, fuck it, we don't need white queens on there. Do an All Stars that was just entirely, I mean, there's definitely enough of them, and if that was one of the problems, they should have gone, okay, cool, so let's go back and get all these wonderful queens of color and do an All Stars of color. This just seems like a cop-out kind of way of addressing that problem.
And to an extent, I think the show may be beyond that point.
Yeah.
Do you
think it'll mix it up when they bring it to other countries like the UK?
Not if it's just, here's our big finale, mouth the words to one of RuPaul's songs. Like, no, we've done this a million times. Think of something new.
Like,
and there are like so many writers on these shows that come up with concepts in rooms for ages. Fire them all and get new ones. Yeah. Bring some of the queens that have worked on the show to come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. There's got to be fresh stuff. It's so bland.
Yeah, well, I thought Thailand did do that.
Have you seen any of Thailand?
Yeah, I watched the whole season.
Oh, okay.
There was a guy, like a fan who...
Where can you watch it? Just to stream it?
Somewhere. You can stream it, and there was one dedicated fan who did all the subtitles into English, and he also did... little cultural notes on the subtitles as well.
Bless his heart.
To explain like what some of these Thai jokes were, because they don't make sense out of context. But their challenges actually did have a lot of effort. Their finale was incredible. They all had to design their own lip sync.
Yeah, brilliant.
So design like a backdrop, a choreograph.
Oh, heaven.
And it did have that kind of spark that RuPaul's doesn't have anymore. Well, the American RuPaul's Drag Race doesn't have anymore. And I think part of that is the show has just reached a certain...
It's tired.
Yeah.
A certain point, and it's a certain demographic that it just needs to keep happy at this point.
I think All Stars is very lackluster and tired and anticlimactic at the end because they don't have like the whole ceremony and everything like that. And it's just like, okay, you won in bad cut up footage.
I think All Stars 2 is one of the best seasons of Drag Race ever produced, just for the mix of talent.
Which one
got
was that?
There.
Was that the one with
Katya?
Yeah, I love Katya.
But that was like lightning in a bottle. You just had some very talented, funny people salvaging the material given to them.
If it was down to that final lip sync, I thought Monet should have just won. The way it's worded, it's like you've made it down to the last two, everything is based on this lip sync. Yeah. So if you're going to base on that, then Monet should have just won.
The lip sync was really good.
Yeah.
I just don't think she is as polished as a lot of the other queens that went home. It's like this
do you
weird
think
torn...
the winner, so like the way it's sort of set up, do you think the winner should be the person that did the best overall in the season? Or are we saying, right, we're down to the last challenge and this last challenge is this lip sync. So whoever does the best lip sync is the winner. Because that's how it works for all the other lip syncs. Shouldn't
I think
it should be
overall.
I just agree.
This is like a whole episode of Drag Race.
Yeah. I mean, I love the wig reveal Monet did to reveal the same wig. I cackled. That was really good.
I also think the reason this felt so fumbled, the seasons are obviously planned in advance.
Yeah.
And I do think Manila leaving halfway through really screwed the pooch in terms of what they were planning. There's this great clip of Alaska on what they call the pit stop, which is this like post-episode discussion that the two queens have. And it's actually with Manila, and she asks Alaska, so is this a top four that you envisioned?
Oh.
And she just goes, no. And I don't think it was really the top four going into the season anyone, including the producers, envisioned. Yeah. And they got to the end, they had that shitty slow jam.
That song was so boring. Like, normally I like the songs, but that one was just like, oh my God, what is this? It was too slow.
If there's something I can get on board with Drag Race, is at least the last challenge being a really good dance music number. Like, that's a center. Riju Rochu category is Kitty Girl from All Stars 3. They're all sort of like high points.
Yes.
And this one just felt really flat. It's on a weird sound stage that looks like a high school
the
musical.
The only things I liked about it was Monet's outfit, which was like Black Panther and then like Wakanda warrior. That was amazing. And Naomi's outfit, she looked really cool as a superhero in that like sleek plasticky thing.
And it's hard not to discuss race when talking about Drag Race. A lot of hate has gone to Naomi for eliminating Manila. A lot of it racially based.
Yeah.
And a lot of people now slagging Trinity and Monet for tying from either sides of the race camp.
Debate.
People saying this is a token win. You're not a real winner to Monet.
That's so mean. Like, fill people up. Don't.
Like, it's silly, but Drag Race fans... Well, we really call them fans because this behavior is just like, it's not encouraged by the queens or the show itself. Do you think we could have been seeing a different reaction from the fan base if one of the queens was crowned over the other? So if it was a solo Monet exchange win, for example.
Well, I mean, for me, it goes back to how is the show structured, which is not really clear. Yeah. But if she'd won, I would have said, she should have won based on that lip sync. That was totally a winning lip sync. Mm-hmm. Again, I haven't watched the entire season, but I feel like you get through every episode by doing the best in that episode, not based on how you did the whole thing. So I feel like the winner at the end should be the one that wins that final challenge.
Yeah.
And which I think she did win. So that's how I would have felt had she have won. But yes, I see what you're saying, that there are people that would have said that it was a token win.
A token win, which I couldn't imagine how that would feel as a performer.
Yeah, be awful.
Yeah.
To be told that you only won.
Have you guys seen that video of them finding out?
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they're just, like, looking up the screen and then...
Because they don't find
out
until they're actually watching
TV
show live on air.
So they find out basically the same time as we do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she looked gooped. I think it's time for RuPaul to take a break from All Stars.
Yes, absolutely.
And if anything we're known for is
give
like
the show a fucking rest. Let it go for a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, stop like people queuing
leave
up season
people
after
gagging
season after
for it. Yeah, it
yeah,
should
like
be
it's
ready
like
to go.
It's, if it's too readily available, no one's
people are going to bag the shit out of it. We're going to pick it apart. There's no time to find good new talent.
Exactly. Like, what it is it? Is it a week between All Stars and then like a week off and then the new season starts?
I think
season
it starts 11? In 2 weeks. God. The gays are angry and...
The gays are revolting.
The gays are revolting.
They're pretty vocal about it online. Yeah. So, yeah. If anything, I don't see a tie.
They're spitting the dummy. More baby talk. I had an experience on the weekend, which I guess wasn't the greatest for me. Just before we went to Dalesford on Saturday, I had like a pre-drinks at my house on Friday, and I had like a whole bunch of people over. I had work people over that I haven't been out with, and decided to take them to Puff Duff. So we had a like really fun time at my house, and then
it looked
just,
like a party.
Yeah, it went off. Like there was a big pre-drinks.
I'm sure
so
I would have
fun.
Been invited if I wasn't at Gay Times.
Yes, oh, I've asked you.
Oh, did you?
I yeah, I did. Sorry, that's where I remember. Anyway. To be honest, that's really the last thing I remember because I woke up on Saturday thinking I was dying, not in my own home, at my friend Blake's house, didn't know what was happening, and God explained to me that my drink was spiked on the Friday night. And it was one of the scariest things because you hear about it happening to people and just having no recollection. Like I remember getting into the club and seeing some people there, and then I've been told that I went to go sit down or like it happened very quickly and I got found on the couches just basically unconscious. And I know Joel Creasy was there and he was really nice enough to help me out.
Yeah.
From I've been told. This is all stuff that I've been told and tried to piece together from a lot of different people. And everyone panicked and found Duncan and my friend Blake and they tried to get me up. Security was asking what I was on and everyone's like, he's literally not on nothing. He's just been drinking tonight and they wouldn't believe it.
He's
and
not on nothing.
Yeah. And it happened so quickly and I was like, is this my fault? Like maybe I did drink too much, maybe that's what happened. But everyone's kind of telling me that it doesn't happen like that, like it happened very quickly and
yeah.
I kind of just lay down and was out. So Joel Creasy like knew some people and they decided to take me out the back entrance because if they think you're on something or like drugging out at Puff Duff, you can get a lifetime ban. So they snuck me out the back so that wouldn't happen to me. But waking up and finding this all out while feeling so sick and dying, like I'm not sure if it was a normal hangover or if it was just, I don't know what it was, but I cried a few times and I don't know why. It was just very emotional and just having that lack of control and just thinking of people seeing me in that state and just thinking that I can't control myself or maybe that I did like OD on drugs or something. Or it was a very scary, vulnerable, horrible feeling. I'm not looking at like clubbing the same way. Like all my friends are worried that I'm not going to go out with them anymore. And like I will, but it's just, I can't not think about it. And I know I will be more conscious of it. But,
it's awful that when it something like that happens.
I can't believe it still happens.
Safe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't,
at all.
I wouldn't think it would happen in a gay
especially
club.
In your safe. And that's your safe space. Yeah. You're there what, like we every weekend, you know, which sort of goes back to what we were talking about with that guy that was harassing you.
Yeah. I mean,
it
that
is
was
great
just last
to have
week
your
I was
friends.
Talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. To have your friends around and stuff, but you do have to be really aware of predators in all venues, not just that one. It's an awful thing. I'm so sorry that that happened to you.
Yeah.
The silver lining, I guess, you've always got to look for a silver lining, is you are now going to be aware of it, not just for yourself, but also for friends as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It's something that I've always been very cautious of because my mother's a nurse and she has, since I was old enough to go out, she drilled into me, do not leave your drinks alone. Don't let
I mean,
anyone
I don't
know
think
hold
I've
your drinks.
I mean, I don't think I've been an idiot. Like, I've had that drill into my head as well. And a lot of people think that I was just very blasé about it.
I don't think
see
I've been out with you. I know you're not an idiot. You're very aware of yourself
being
at clubs.
Like, careless like
no, you're not careless. But it's just being aware that it just takes a few seconds for someone to be able to do that.
And like I hear a lot of people talking about how people think they're doing others a favor by doing it and like they're
well
thinking
that's
they're
so the only real
night.
Drink spiking experience I've had was my first boyfriend well not my first boyfriend but the boyfriend I had when I first was going out to clubs. He was like offering me party drugs. I'd never taken part, like I had weed and stuff before, but I never had party drugs. So he put some in my drink and a little while later I was
against,
like
you didn't know
I didn't know about it. And a little bit later I was like, oh, I feel really weird. He's like, do you feel good? I was like, yeah, I do, but I've got heaps of energy. I was like, yeah, I put some, I think it was speed or something, in my drink. He was like, because I knew you wouldn't take it, but I knew you'd like it anyway. And I was like, that is so fucked. Yeah. Not the same as your situation, but still
that's
doing
still
something
very,
without
very
someone's
tough.
Permission. So yeah, that thing of thinking they're doing you a favor is like the most fucked. Spiking someone's drink is not doing anyone a favor.
It's such a creepy feeling to think, was the person there watching like everything unfold? Like, were they trying to
And what was their
like,
intentions after that happened?
Like, were they trying, like,
It's a violation like of your rights and your
total
personal space,
violation. So. You feel like so unsafe. And so Duncan and Blake carried me home, like unconscious, like fell out of cab. It was like 3 a.m. or something. So they were super intoxicated and they're having to like deal with this and sober up. Don't want to like ruin other people's nights, but also I don't want to... people to think that of me.
Look, I don't think anyone is gonna think that of you. The person that did it, let's assume, I assume, doesn't know you. And I've traveled a lot by myself. I'm sure a lot of people, when they travel to Melbourne by themselves, that's you know, one of the biggest clubs, they probably go there by themselves. What if you were someone that was traveling by themselves and didn't have people around that knew you, that would go, this is out of character for Kyle, we gotta look after him? If you were just by yourself, people would think, oh, he's obviously just had too much, his friends have popped him on the couch and he'll be fine looking after himself, and something worse could have happened. It's really, really horrific that people do that.
There's something I read online. It was about women's safety, which really resonated with me, and I think about it all the time. And of course it's so important for us to look out for each other and watch our drinks to keep our safety in mind when we go out, but the conversation is always so focused on what we can do to protect ourselves instead of advocating that just don't fucking put things in other people's drinks. And this post was really quite good. It was saying, by advocating for like protecting yourself, what you're saying is just don't be the person that gets their drink spiked and don't be the person that gets sexually assaulted, as opposed
it sounds
to
very easy, doesn't it?
As opposed to don't sexually assault people.
Yes.
I've had my drink spiked like more times than I've had haircuts, but because I'm a slow learner.
I mean, weren't you speaking, were you literally speaking about that last week when your dad saved you?
I was drinking pre-mixes out of a stranger's bag, underage in a venue, and luckily my dad came and got me. But
essentially, he still spiked your drink, though.
Well, I had no idea what that drink was. Exactly. I thought it was just like a gin and tonic in a Mount Franklin water bottle.
Yeah,
but even like I think back to times JB and I used to drink in Adelaide. We'd do this thing called Friday Night Lights, where this bar would do 50-cent pots on the hour, and it would go up by 50 cents every hour. So we would go and buy 100 pots and we would just line them up on our table and have them sitting there, about, you know, 50 or so drinks or whatever we had it going at the time, and we'd walk away. We'd go and dance. Outside. And
I used to do the same thing at the Prince of Wales Hotel on Monday nights. And
And then we'd come back like 20 minutes later and just like pick a random drink because we knew we owned that table and just start drinking it again. And I think that's like such a stupid thing to do now.
Yeah, you raised two really good points. You're right that we shouldn't be advocating for people to look after themselves. But
the reality is
you have to.
You have to. And you have to look out for your friends as well. And you may think it's fun to put something in someone's drink, but you don't know their medical history. You don't know how they're going to react to it.
It's just also a complete violation.
That's exactly
it's
how
not,
I feel. Like, it's so violated. Yeah. And so just not having that memory, I was just dead weight that had to be carried.
So what would you do if someone once told you, like a friend told you that they had spiked someone's drink in the past? Like how?
I would say that's a really irresponsible, disrespectful thing to do. As people, we only really have ownership, and there's one thing you can know for certain, and it's your own self. And to take that away from a person, it's just so disrespectful and a violation of their safety, of their self, that if you're doing that to your friends, you're showing that you don't...
You're not a friend. You don't respect
them.
Yeah, I couldn't be friends with someone that had done something like that. Even if they thought it was they were doing it as a favor for somebody.
No way.
Yeah. Luckily, I don't have friends that have ever done it in a like predatory, sexual way. That I wouldn't know how to handle, because I don't know what that thought process is.
But it's something I never really thought it would be a problem for me as a gay man in a gay club. I always, like, it's kind of in my mind that it's like a thing that women have to worry about in straight clubs.
You've never heard about it happening in gay clubs before?
That's the only place.
I guess I have. But
maybe you need to think about, when you're reading about stuff that's happening to people, thinking, just because this hasn't happened to me, I need to think about how this affects individuals, because it could one day be me. Exactly. Does that make sense? Sorry, it sounds like I'm having a go at you and I don't mean it. But just like thinking about other stuff, when there's stuff happening to people, you might be more aware of preventing stuff for yourself, as well as keeping an eye out on other people when other stuff could happen to them.
There could be 99 people.
There can be 99 drinks in a room.
It's real awful. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you.
Yeah, it was...
One of my friends was out drinking, and I feel really bad because I'd said, see you later, and like gone home from the night. And I didn't hear back from her, I think, until the next day when she told me she hung back, like finished her drink, walked out the venue and was literally like on the street when it hit, and she just fainted and passed out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that feeling, I could just imagine the level of embarrassment, you thinking, these people don't know me, I've passed out
at how does this look?
A pub in Richmond. And none of us were there. We'd all gone home. She was by herself. And I think a stranger actually realized what was going on, and that it wasn't just a fully gacked person. Yeah. And that's also part of the message that we need to start telling people is like, don't always jump to assumptions when you see someone completely.
The other thing is that just because someone's gagged doesn't mean they don't need help either. Like, if someone if it is self-inflicted and somebody's lying on the ground, it doesn't mean that they don't deserve help either. Like,
that's true.
There is also this weird thing of like, when people say my drink was spiked, it's like, was it spiked or did you just have too much?
I got that a lot. Yeah. And I heard
oh, really?
Two, but the thing is, it actually doesn't matter. I mean, sure, it's annoying when people say it to you. Yeah. Why are they even asking that question? If you had too much to drink and you needed help, you still need help.
Yeah.
But be like, why are we assuming that you do? Yeah, it really fucks
me. Like, I saw someone write about me, like, oh, he's just a pussy who can't handle his drink or something. I was like, really? That's what...
Someone said that to
someone you? Someone said that about... I saw in another conversation.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What?
When someone is explaining what happened to me, they were like, oh, he just can't handle him. Like, it was just blew it off completely. And like,
who was it?
Yes, really spill the tea.
Who was it?
Tag
I'll
him.
Tell you after.
I think that's really...
If someone needs help, they need help.
Yeah.
If
someone needs help, give
and them. That's, and sorry, I'm going to go back to gay times just to go full circle in this podcast.
Yeah.
But that was really amazing about this festival. You know, people partying, having a good time, people indulging in whatever. Mm. And everyone had an eye out on each other. And the gay community is very good at that, I think. That's why we are very good at drugs and alcohol. We do it a lot more than the heterosexual community statistically, but we generally do keep an eye out for each other. And, you know, you don't know Joel that well, but you
I felt recognized really...
somebody that was falling over. And I've had people that I've met a couple of times come and check
I
on
felt
me
very
when I've been
thankful
really sloppy.
For that. Yeah. And it was nice
and
to reflect
what,
and look.
We're good at that as a community. Yeah.
Looking out for each other.
Well, that was an episode. We covered a lot. Congratulations. We were down one person, but we got through
a
lot.
We got through it in the end. Yeah, thank you. And please subscribe to all our social medias at Gays Revolting Pod on Instagram. Let us know if you want us to do a live show in your city, because we're working that out at the moment.
Oh, definitely. And don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, because we need as much feedback as we can possibly get.
We thrive on your feedback.
Yeah, we're into it.
And of course, you might have seen on our socials, we do have... Dr. George is coming back. We had him a few months ago on an episode, and he's coming back to give more advice from an actual real doctor. So if you have any burning questions, if it's
burning spots,
you should probably go and see a doctor before that episode. But if you do have any questions on mental or physical health, especially if it relates to the queer community, then give us a message
or sexy
email
questions.
Us or whatever. And you can be anonymous. That's fine. We won't say your name or address unless you want it.
And that's it. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks
Until
so much.
Next
Thank
week.
You guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.